The Holy Gospel, which is also our stewardship reading today, is from Luke, the 10th chapter. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved to pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" And he said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Almost can't mess this one up. Good text. I'll try my best to mess it up. So remember, we're in our stewardship reading today. So typically when we read this, we read it in kind of a different context. And we've talked about this text before, and I talked about in the sermon who you might think of yourself in this text and which one of these people do you identify with. There's a lot of different characters in the story. There's the man who was robbed. There are the robbers. There is the priest who walked by on the other side. And who was it, a lawyer? Or a Levite, thank you. And the Levite. And then there is the Good Samaritan, right? And I had led us in a talk and a sermon that ended up claiming that we might be the man who has been beaten and robbed, in one sense. That's one way to come to a conclusion into the story, to think of ourselves as the man who's been beaten and robbed. We're the ones who seek a Savior. We're the ones who desire to have a relationship with God that might save us. So there's one way that we hear the story, and we might recognize ourselves as the one who's been beaten and robbed, and we're the ones that are still trying to reconcile ourselves with God and all that we say and all that we do. That's one way to hear the story. Our stewardship text today wants us to hear the story kind of a different way. I want to do a little bit of history in this story, too, just so we have a better idea. I was confused when I read this story first time, and I didn't talk about this before, but they talk about a man was going from Jerusalem, going down to Jerusalem to Jericho. Well, if you look on a map, Jerusalem is here, and Jericho's here. That seems to be north and east. That feels like up to me. So I was like, why are they saying he's going down? Well, a little research on it. Jericho is much, much lower on the earth. You actually go down quite a ways, quite a few thousand feet. You go down to get to Jericho. So it's literally, in the Bible, when you hear say somebody went down to a place, it's not like, you know, where do we go to Wisconsin? We go up to Wisconsin, or we go down to Tennessee. Well, that's not what we're talking about here in the story today. We're going to go down to Jericho because it's literally going downhill. So, and it's kind of, they imagine, in a hillier area that probably this bandit appeared, or these bandits appeared and robbed this man. So just a little bit of history on that text. But the stewardship that we're in right now asks us to think about the story in a little bit different way. And I think where the stewardship text is pushing us today, the reason that this text is showing us and talking to us is we need to listen first to the beginning of the story. Why do we hear the parable of the Good Samaritan? Why are we even hearing this story? Why is Jesus telling this story? And now we're open. Discussion. Right. It is the response, the story is the response to this guy who first of all was like, Jesus, what do I got to do to inherit eternal life? Tell me what I've got to do. Right? Nothing. Why didn't Jesus say that? Well, Jesus hadn't died and risen for our sins. And right, so this is a story more for us than I think it is even for that man. But he says to the guy, he says, well, what's written in the law? What's it say? What must you do to inherit eternal life? And he knows. He's read the scriptures. Well, you're supposed to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength. And have I ever said it in this room before? Only about a million times. And love your neighbor as yourself. And in particular, this text today all hinges on that part. That's the most important part of this whole text today for us, especially in our stewardship setting. Love your neighbor as yourself. And it even says that the man who's come to Jesus, a rich man, I believe, right, comes to Jesus and says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And that's, he says himself, the man says, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, great, you got it. You've read the scripture, you're good, solid. Now go do it. It says, but wanting to justify himself. Why does the guy think he needs to be justified? Let's speculate. Anybody? Huh? Well, that's part of it. And what's he trying to protect? His money. That guy just said to me, I'm supposed to treat my neighbor like I treat myself, which really means I should be using my money on my neighbor. And it doesn't sound like, especially in other renderings of that story, that he especially wanted to do that. So wanting to justify himself, trying to, I think some ways to read that as trying to get out of this. He says, well, who is my neighbor? That's the most interesting question in this text. And the one that I want Jesus to spring out of the text today, that you're holding your hands, and stand amongst us, and I want him to ask you the question. I want you to answer Christ. So Christ just jumped out of the text. He's right here. And he's looking at all of you and says, hey, Zion Lutheran Church, love you guys. Who is your neighbor? And Zion says, okay, one at a time, raise your hand. This is good stuff. Anyone in need? That's always kind of a, we get that, and that's kind of a general. Can we be more specific? That's not specific. Everybody's like all in need. Specifically, who is, see, this is the hard part about this neighbor thing. It's great for us to say, everybody. What does that really mean? Like, who is your neighbor? Where? In Puerto Rico. Yes, they are. Who else is my neighbor? Just in Puerto Rico? What? Where? Right where the tornadoes had just happened? California with the wildfires? And maybe just in general California? Who else is my neighbor? Our actual neighbors, the people that actually live next door to us? We actually have neighbors that whatever you'd say, oh, my neighbor was mowing the lawn the other day. We wouldn't think about the guy in Sweden mowing his lawn. We think about our actual neighbor. That's great, Cody. What else? Who else is our neighbor? Huh? Remember, that's that blanket statement. I'm looking for specifics this morning. Are Muslims my neighbor? How about Catholics? I put them after Muslims. That's pretty strange. Who's my neighbor? Is Hitler my neighbor? Ooh, that's a tough one, isn't it? Is the opposing party my neighbor? Notice how I said something political without saying anything political. Is the opposing party my neighbor? Yeah. How about the person you have hated your whole life that you never talked to? Is he your neighbor? Is she your neighbor? Right? Let's reframe the story. And I love doing this in a modern context. Before I've done it where it was like a member of Zion Lutheran Church was going down to Jericho and was beaten and robbed. And along came a great Jewish leader. And he passed on the other side. And then along came the most devout Christian. But then a Muslim came by and was moved to pity and helped that Zion Lutheran Church member. That's one way that we hear that story. That's hard to hear it that way. And the Muslim was the one who was moved with pity and bandaged your wound and put you on his own animal and took you to the inn and paid for you. It's hard to hear the story like that. But that's indeed the way the story is meant to be heard. The Samaritan was not a very enjoyed, liked person. In fact, the Samaritans were basically this hodgepodge of people with religious ideas. Some of them worshiped just deities, just God little g, you know, the God of, you know, water and the God of earth and the God of, you know, not God. That's who Samaritans were. Why would Jesus be doing this? And maybe we could even reframe the story this way. So, Houston was minding its own business and was beaten and robbed by a hurricane. Different way to hear the story. And some people in New Mexico, and if you're from New Mexico, I'm just picking a state, walked by and didn't do anything. And some people from Illinois walked by and didn't do anything. But people from Mexico came and helped the people in Houston. All of a sudden, they're the Good Samaritan. That's the way that story smacks. Or how about there was Florida, and he was beaten and robbed by a hurricane. And we go through the same things. There was Puerto Rico that was beaten and robbed by a hurricane. There was Mexico that was beaten and robbed by an earthquake. We've got to hear that story differently. And in an attempt to try and get our heads around this, and especially in our way of understanding stewardship, what if we said this? We change even the characters. We kind of change the whole thing around and say, there was a Houston, a Florida, a Puerto Rico, and a Mexico. And they were all beaten and robbed. Who should money go to help who first? Isn't that a terrible question? Like, well, I suppose Houston's closer, or maybe Florida's closer. Mexico, they should have their own relief system. If they haven't worked hard enough as we have to make a relief system, they should just have to wait. I've heard those things. And I'm going to leave you with this. Who do you think God thinks is supposed to be helped first? And so we pray. Good and gracious God, we thank you for the chance to be able to step into other people's lives and help them. Lord, we rejoice at many of the ministries this church does, our quilt ministry that goes out and helps those who have been hurt. But Lord, help us see in the other ways that we can also be helpful for all those people who have been hurt and marginalized, not just in the United States, but anywhere in the world where you call us to serve. It's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen. So as we continue with our service, please rise as you are able.